And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba the Bloom, episode 218. Previews are done, folks. We're doing a little Bloom board action for you on a Thursday night. Going to compare the Listener League AAV to the NFBC OLEC AAV. Have some fun with that and much, much more. But before we get there, you can find me on Twitter at BDIntric, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom, and the three-time NFBC, or no, FSWA award winner this year for Baseball Article of the Year. You can find him on Twitter at RyanBHQ. Ryan Bloomfield, how are we doing, my friend?
Doing good. It's been a super freaking busy day. So it kind of, like, SiriusXM called, I don't even know, sometime early this afternoon, I guess, and said I had won the award. And I was like really freaking stoked. Got on there for a couple minutes. It's kind of funny. I didn't tell you this, but my interview, you go on with it, like they announced the awards part of their award show or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you come on as a guest and they asked like what my article was that won, what it was about and all that stuff. And so I explain it. And then the next question is, I don't know how you baseball guys do it. It's like, that okay. Right. And then that was kind right. of it. So, but no, super, it finally setting in, like I said, it was a super busy day, but with so much, like, there's just so much content out there. It means a ton to be recognized. Shout out to all the finalists out there. Like, I've been a finalist many times and not won. John Legazer, our buddy, Big John Stud, was a finalist for Article, as well as three other ones. And Vlad Sedler was a finalist for Article as well. So shout out to those guys and really everybody out there grinding away. But yeah, pretty cool. It's finally setting in now. I just had a chance to sit down with you, crack open a hazy and kind of reflect on it. So pretty stoked.
Well-deserved, my friend. Well-deserved. And the article that won it is always a good one because that's one of those kind of reflection pieces right before the season. So really, really cool stuff there. Burks is in the chat saying congrats, Ryan. There's a lot of congrats to go around and awesome stuff. I can't wait to see where that one goes behind you on the mantles and whatnot. You might have to move the gnome. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, dude. So, I don't know. There's not much room. Yeah. I got this master's gnome. I have no master's idea why I still great. Bought that thing, but he's hanging great. Out.
Yeah.
Maybe instead of this Werf trophy behind me that I did not win last year, but I'm still holding on to the trophy.
That's true. That would probably be a good one to take in that regards. I'm going to give a shout out to a listener real quick because I got a DM a couple weeks ago from, let me pull up the, I have it right here, from at Sleepy Gator on Twitter. And so I'm not going to give out the person's name because I don't know if they want it out or anything. And he was just thanking me for the work that we do. Loves our show. Loves one of the bits we done recently. So wrote a nice letter thanking us for this. But he found something that said he had to get them for me. And they're Bubba Burger stickers that he that he had to send to me because as like a minor token of gratitude for all the stuff we're doing. And when we did that skit, when he threw it up on the board, it dawned on him and it just randomly came across him somewhere, picked him up and wanted to ship him out. So
that is incredible. That is awesome. Yeah.
So I just wanted to give him a shout. Those came in today, actually. Like I opened that up before I got your text. So it was almost the same time. Kismet, you know, I get Bubba Burger stickers. You get, you know, an awesome trophy. So yeah, we all win today. We all win in this. It's actually fitting for this show, to be honest. I got the Bubba Burger stickers. Ryan gets the trophy. It actually is how this should go.
If only the stickers were edible, I think I'd rather have the thing. Our listeners are awesome. We had something in the Discord too. Scott Burks, he told us this at first pitch, and I'll put Scott on blast, but he was trying to get Luis Rengifo to sign a couple baseballs for us and present it to us at the live show. Didn't really get much back from the Angels until this week. They sent him a Rengifo signed baseball and he took a picture of that, put that in the Discord. That was pretty sweet too.
Yeah, pretty good stuff. We got Sean in the chat. Here's congrats, Ryan. Joe Rico saying, imagine being a scratch golfer and an award-winning baseball writer. It's pretty impressive stuff
there. Oh, my driver came today. I haven't even had a chance to open the damn thing yet.
I thought it came or yesterday.
Me. Or yesterday. It came yesterday.
Yeah, you're talking about it on my stream. Yeah,
that's right. Still haven't had a chance to open it. But
well, it sounds like he has something to do this weekend. So That's a positive.
Kind of. I'm doing first pitch online. That was another thing today. So we did, I guess, semi tangentially related to our show. First pitch online started with Baseball HQ. So I did a labor recap panel with Jenny Butler. Got her, threw some choice words back at Jenny on the panel for her snipes throughout the draft, but also Rudy Gamble and Tim McLeod were on there. So we recap labor for about an hour tonight. And then Friday night, Bubba, you are streaming your fourth 3 to 4 hour stream of the week. You'll be streaming AL labor with Mike Gianella and our guy, Joe Arrico. So it'll be fun.
Yep. Yep, that will be a fun one as well. AL only. We'll see how that goes. And that'll be leading us into next Tuesday's show, where we'll be streaming the Tout Wars mixed 15-team mixed draft. We'll be streaming live at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific time. So a different time than our usually scheduled program. Just a heads up for you all. That'll be coming your way next Tuesday. Tout Wars will both be drafting in that one. So trash shall be talked all over the place, but we might have to limit it because it will be actually the Tout Wars stream as well. So
that's right. We are.
I feel like we don't have to limit it. They asked us to do what we do best, is what they said. Those were their exact words. True. So
I think the exact words were leave it to the pros. I first wouldn't call us pros at all, but
you have the trophy.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll keep it like we normally do. So you got your pick, right? I don't think I got an email on my pick yet.
Yes. They may not have got to you yet, because the way the Tout Wars draft works, it's essentially KDS, but it's reverse. Like, so whoever finished first gets the first choice of what they want, and so on and so forth. So I was tied for second with Gianella. Apparently, I lost a coin toss. Okay. So, yeah, that's what the email said. Sorry.
Did you pick heads or tails?
I didn't even know there was a coin toss. I just got in the email, I said I lost a coin toss. So I don't know. So first and third were already taken, so I took second, and I'm hoping for an Aaron Judge to drop to me at number two in an OBP format, but we'll talk more about that next week. You finished, what, like eighth or ninth in the league?
Yeah, I was going to say, I kind of set myself up for you to destroy me there. They haven't made it down to me yet. So yeah. Eventually.
You'll get the email probably tomorrow afternoon at this pace, so you'll get to pick your spot in the draft, and then they'll tweet it out and announce it like usual.
Won't be many options to choose from at that point either. So,
like, I was debating taking a middle pick just because it's good for the show. You can kind of just bomb and weave through the show. And I was debating like an end pick because I like that wraparound. But then I was like, it's OBP actually. Let me get one of these 400 plus OBP guys out the gate and see where that goes. So
yeah, if you're two, I'll go. I mean, again, I may not have much of a choice, but I'll try and go middle or probably the back half just for the show aspect. It would be kind of cool if we were next to each other, but I'm assuming 1 and 3 will be taken by the time the...
They already were. I told you when it was my turn to pick, 1 and 3 were already taken.
Oh, we're already gone. Okay, that's right.
Yeah. So you'd have to hope for like 4 or 5 to be that close to where I was. Yeah. So we'll see. But that's coming up Tuesday night for everybody. So keep that, your eyes peeled for that as well. All right, listener leagues, as of this recording, 9 of 10 drafts are in the books. Friday night, our good buddy Sheep at the Sheep Seats will be streaming the 10th and final listener league auction on his YouTube channel. So if you're up for it, which I hope you are, go check that out. That's going to be a fun one, obviously, if you're not watching me on First Pitch Online. But yes, go watch the Sheep Seats for the 10th and final listener league auction. That should be a doozy as well. All right, what are we looking at tonight, Ryan? What do we got cooking with Bloomboard season all of a sudden? So this is great. We're done with previews. What do you got?
Yeah, it's always Bloomboard season. So I took this board is the first 8. We just finished, like I said, our 9th tonight, but didn't update the board with our 9th result. Shout out, by the way, before I get to it, shout out to the NFBC, Jeff Stein. I think Jeff has been the draft auction moderator for every single one, and he's actually like there moderating it and setting breaks and stuff. Just a whole huge effort behind the scenes by Jeff. So shout out to him and the whole crew over there. So, and yeah, these things are long, like Bubba knows, and Joe just puts in the chat 4 hours and 15 minutes all told tonight. What a battle, he says. So they do feel like freaking marathons. But all right, so what we're looking at here is I took the average auction value difference between our 8 listener league so far, 8 out of 10. And compared that with the rest of the NFBC February auctions. So we've got two boards here for those looking on YouTube or looking at the stream after the fact. In green are the risers, the folks that Bubba and the Bloom listeners paid more for than the rest of the NFBC. And the flip side on the right side, the red, is the players that we paid less than the rest of the NFBC. Common theme on the green side, on the premium side. But I guess I'll throw it back to you. General takeaways outside of all those, that position column with all those C's in there.
Yeah. The one thing I'll say is, and I've made this joke on other, like maybe during my stream on Wednesday, for the good or the bad of our analysis, take that for what you wish. Thank you for trusting us, because based on these, it's like these are all guys either we really like and they're getting the bump, or we like throwing a lot of shade at and they're going for less. Like for the most part, like, we'll talk Jackson Churio, but to me, when you get up to the 30s, things get different and maybe priorities changed, or I'm the only one that likes them. We'll see. But for the most part, when we're talking a lot of these players here, like, and we'll, like you were hinting at, the catcher's position is like inflation central in these drafts. And if you ever guys want a great video, Ryan clipped one of me getting.
Oh my God. I didn't want to throw that one out public. That one's Discord only with our buddies. It was, I thought it was pretty good. I had to do it.
It was, I got sniped on a Miguel Amaya for my second to last pick
for $3. Nothing riles you up like a $3 Miguel Amaya, dude. It was bad.
Yep. So that was, it was the perfect conclusion basically to the auction portion of the draft. And based on these prices, this is why I was excited for a $2 Miguel Amaya in theory as we get going here. But yeah, biggest takeaway is catcher's craziness is one thing I'd say. On the flip side, it's a lot of just those suspect injury prone guys, or just in general guys we're not huge on, that are getting the little bit of the not love is what I'll say.
Yep.
All right, let's kick it off. The biggest, I guess inflation is the right word. I guess it probably differs based on actually how much you're spending, but the biggest price gap between Bubba and the Bloom and the NFBC of $4 is Tyler Stevenson, which kind of brings a tear to my eyes, because Stevenson's going for an average of $13 in the Bubba and the Bloom leagues, $9 in the NFBC. Stevenson's been a player that I have pounded the drum. I know you're not opposed to him either. Like you're fine with him, but like I say, catcher two, like this, make this your catcher two. And you guys went aggressive on him, so he's definitely not my catcher two in our auction. But what's your thoughts here? Because $4 extra at the catcher's position gets the blood flowing, but maybe not in the good way.
Right. And I think this is the ultimate example, just that kind of like mid-tier price setting catcher that went for so much more in our leagues than the NFBC. It just shows how much our rooms, and we were only two of these eight leagues, and I don't even know how many of these guys I ended up with. So this isn't us drafting these guys. This is us imparting our wisdom, perhaps, on listeners of the show. But this was the big one. This was Tyler Stevenson. And Tyler Stevenson, interestingly enough, had one of the bigger variances across all of our I've got a pick tracker that shows the picks for every single league that's available on the Patreon. Tyler Stevenson was one of the more variance type of hitters. He went for as cheap as $9, but went for as high as $17 in our second league. $15, and then a couple 14s as well with a min of $9. So again, any particular like one auction, prices can be wild, but Stevenson was a little bit all over the board, but still the min was $9, and that's the average on NFBC. So you did not get your Tyler Stevenson discount.
No, I did not, and that 17 is wild. I do like Stevenson because you look at NFBC, like we said, the average is 9. It's gone in the month of February. It's gone from either 6 to 13. So the max is our average when it comes to Tyler Stevenson, which says a lot there. So I like him a lot. I will shout out, and it was mentioned in our Discord, our good buddy James Anderson from RotoWire had John Posma on this week. It was a very good episode that I could relate to based on our inflation we're going to talk about here. They did a $500. It's a DC auction. So you auction the starting, then you slow draft the rest. And Posma said it's not like your normal AAVs, because catchers and relievers go for so much higher in a DC, just like they do ADP-wise, but in an auction, they go higher. So he had to adjust on the fly to the craziness, which is kind of what I felt like, and you maybe as well. I'm not going to speak for you. When we started doing the draft, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, like this is getting wild, and really made things interesting. So I can relate to that situation for them.
And I think, honestly, I think we'll see. We'll see how it all plans out. The shrewd move was to probably kind of fade the podcast, right? Like, if everyone's spending up on catchers, like, it'll be interesting to see which teams have the best drafts by the end of the season. But usually not going with the crowd is the way to go. What do you think? Like, so I think Stevenson, if I look at his average auction value compared to other catchers in our leagues. So Stevenson was at 13, right below, a dollar below Will Smith and Shea Bengaliers, and then a dollar ahead, a dollar more expensive than Logan Ohapi and Francisco Alvarez. So can you get on board with that ranking? I know you're not a huge Alvarez guy, but.
Yeah, where that's at, like Ohapi, I think I still have higher than Stevenson, but not by much. They're right next to each other. I have Langoliers, and I think you mentioned somebody else, both over Will Smith. Him. Will Smith I have after him, obviously. But, that's the thing, is based on what other catchers were going for, it checks out to me. That's just so – it's like that's why we were saying, like, in draft, you have to decide, like, do I want to stick to my snake draft style of getting these positions that we talk about in the previews? And relievers was another one, surprisingly not on this list. No, relievers did not make the list, which surprises me. So you just have to kind of basically say, am I going to go for the catchers here and then take a hit somewhere else? Or am I just going to punt it? And my strategy was I got Cal Raleigh for 14, which I was pumped for, because that's basically a buck over Stevenson's AAV. And I'll take Cal Raleigh at 14 all day, especially where some other catchers went in the draft. But then I'm sitting there waiting to try to get a mid-tier value, and they never came. That's why I ended up with Adrian Del Castillo for a buck.
Ouch.
Which is not great.
Not Miguel Amaya.
No. So that's just why auctions are, I love them. And it's just what I'm really looking forward to. We talked about it on the stream, because Ben's got one coming up too, is now doing an OLAC in a few weeks that probably has a different situation in pricing. That'll be really interesting to see how that build looks compared to this
one. And the OLAC is online auction. That's basically the same thing, a 15-team auction league?
Okay. If 15-team auction, $150 entry. They have an overall, but it's a 15-team league, and you do the same thing. Auction, then you draft the reserve round, same exact format. Okay. So basically the AAVs we're seeing on NPC, I'd say majority of them are from OLACs. I'm not going to speak for it because I don't know for sure, because the tab just says average auction values. It didn't separate in between types of drafts. But I haven't seen any of the high-priced ones going yet. I think that's more of a Vegas thing. So I think it's just OLAC so far.
Okay.
So all something right to keep in mind as well. A couple things from the chat before we move on here. Sean, basically about the Amaya thing, it was priceless, LOL. Yeah,
it was good. It was a rough one. Maybe I will throw it out there for
you
the
should.
Masses.
You should, because it's good. And I think I even said it like a couple minutes after. I'm like, guys, that was 100% innocent. Like, I wasn't even faking that. That one, like, it's shot to the heart. Because it was the one where you're down to, like, the 2 seconds and you think you're going to get them, and then it's the last minute tap, and you're just like, you've got to be kidding me right now. Like, you did this on Miguel Amaya. And then SP says, I'm a little late, but I assume the award was putting up with Bubba.
Should get two awards for that, but yeah, probably.
Supersize it. All right, first baseman coming up here. Christian Walker, like, out of all the first basemans to get a bump, I don't think I saw it being Christian Walker per se. Went for 21 on average in Bubba and the Bloom, 18 on average in NFBC. It's for a $3 difference. I really have no – I don't know what to point to this on, to be honest, unless one draft just went bonkers on him.
That's mostly what it was. The first draft had Christian Walker at $27. And so that certainly brought up the Christian Walker average. Christian Walker was the second highest variance, third highest variance at first base behind. We'll talk about Tristan Casas at some point, but and Luis Arraez. But Christian Walker was up there. He went for $27 in the first draft. But still, even that, like a minimum of 17 across our 9 leagues, So and an average, yeah. Right? Pretty much. Again, our minimum was the average. So our listeners are big on Christian Walker to the point where, if you look at first base, you have kind of your top three, right? You've got Vlad for 36, which is well above the rest. Freddie Freeman and Bryce Harper for $27 a pop. But then it was Matt Olson 24, Pete Alonso 23, and Christian Walker 21. I know when we talked about like first base and doing our first base preview, the ADP gap for the market was, I think, much bigger than that between Christian Walker and Alonso and Olson. I think we both kind of made the point that, like, yes, we take Alonso Olson in a vacuum over Walker, but it's kind of the same profile that you can get much later. Not so much in our auctions, but I think that kind of rubbed off on the listeners, and Walker got pushed up a little bit there.
Yeah, I'm using just February online, RotoWire online, 12-team league, just to compare the it's a big sample, but I don't want to keep messing with dates right now. Like Olson's at 35, Pete Alonso's at 45, Christian Walker's at 95. So to your point,
that's a huge
Christian
gap.
Walker's going 50 picks after Alonso, 60 picks after Olson. But in this auction, he's $3 cheaper than Olson. Yeah, but that'll happen because the reason that, at least to me, again, by no means am I a draft expert, but I'm starting to figure a little bit
out. That's the disclaimer for this entire episode. Yeah. Neither of us kind of know what the hell we're doing. We're just remarking on things.
Yeah, we love the format. They're a blast. But to me, at least when I'm in the room, it could be the whole like, hey, we talk about it on our show. It's like, get one of the three. Well, the other two gone. So it's like, I got to get him, and now I'm going to pay more. That could have been exactly what was going on there. Because that happens more so at like relief pitchers and maybe even catchers. So to see it at first base is a little different, and maybe it's a totally different situation. Who knows? But that's the first thing that comes to mind. It's like, okay, he had these three circled. First two gone. I got to get him.
Panic
is what it comes down to. Yes.
I'm glad you brought up the reliever example, because I feel like that position's on such an island, and it is weird that there were no relievers. I don't think we have a single reliever listed on either side.
No, you
but,
don't.
But I made that kind of comment, just depending on the timing of the auction, when that player's thrown, and who's already gone at that position. If you are, and I'm not even saying like Christian Walker's on the same cliff as Alonso or Olson, but like, If Alonzo's kind of that last one out there, and you're like, oh crap, I need him, I want him, and you've got money on the board. It's the other thing. We don't know who took these players and how much money they had compared to the rest of the league at the time. That's why you see so much variance there.
Yeah. And like, I'll bring up just the relievers, just the more of a strategy piece. We'll get back to this in a minute, but this is how the show's going to go, folks.
Yeah, no, this is more of a freewheeling type of thing. Yeah. And we're not going to talk about, but people probably like, oh God, this is going to be a 5-hour episode. They're only on the second player out of 30. No, we're not going to talk about every single player. It's more just a launching point for what we observed in our leagues.
And so like an example, again, to when do these players get thrown out, so on and so forth. So one thing I started doing last night that all of a sudden, to me, again, maybe it's not great strategy, but it started to make sense to me in a roundabout way, is, you know, I had I went and got Devin Williams. I paid for him. I put my money where my mouth was, got my guy. So then like the next two or three bids for me was one of the mid-tier closers to either A, get him, or have someone spend, essentially, just to see where it goes. And it's, you started to see as like other closers went, when someone else nominated them, because there's a run that these mid guys started going up the ladder a little bit, which was interesting. But then again, like Ryan Walker went cheap as heck, so it changes. But there was like that, there was another position I can't remember now, where I was throwing out to just mid-tier guys just to see where they would go. So, oh, starting pitcher, once I had four, I'm like, okay, let's throw these like normal, like I throw like Aaron Nola out there. I'm like, just throw these guys out there that are in the, you know, 10 to $20 range, just get money off the board, essentially. And you started seeing guys that didn't have pitchers start to pay more for these guys than the guys I got like two rounds earlier, essentially. That was interesting to me.
Okay. So. Yeah. Interesting. The other, the Ryan Walker thing is it, cause I think he went for 15 in your auction. 15, I could be wrong.
I was shocked. I was so
pissed. But you already had, so it's like, Bubba, why did you talked up Ryan Walker? Yeah. Why didn't you grab him? I believe you already had Ryan Helsley and Devin Williams, right?
And I was happy to have Helsley for 17. Couldn't. I was like, to get those two combined, it was more than most spin at closers, but I locked it in, knock on wood, don't need to worry about it type thing. But I would have been all over Walker for $2 cheaper than Helsley any day of the week. But that's just the thing with auctions. it's a gigantic Captain Hindsight, but you have to like not sit there and sulk on it. You got to keep moving because the draft keeps moving without you. Yes. That's the biggest thing.
And my
Mason again, right here. I love Walker by a 15. Yes.
Mason got him. Mason's in. Yeah. I Ryan Walker to me, since the official proclamation that Walker's the guy, I almost include him in the top. I think I used to call it a top eight. It might be a top nine at the position. So
also
can't remember if Felix Bautista was in there or not, but he threw 25 pitches today and looked apparently pretty good. So he's,
but the question that was in the Discord, which I really want to know the answer to, and I saw it nowhere. What were his velocities? That's what I want to know.
Details, but
no, I'm not trying to be like, I'm like, that's, it's a serious question for me. And because like Brandon Woodruff is throwing 325 pitch bullpens, but they haven't extended him longer because he's still ramping up his velo. What's Bautista's velo? That's what I want to know. That's just my only question. So,
anyway,
yes, details. I'll let you pick the next guy on the green side since we're going to hop around here. Who, which one stood out to you here? Because I'm not going to just name off every catcher, but we could talk about your boy. Did you get the Christopher Sanchez bump or whoever? But
we've done catcher talk, so like we won't bore you all. Just for the sake of the audio listeners, the other catchers listed are Kiber Ruiz, where he's going in drafts. It's like, that's where we want to get our second catcher. Kiber Ruiz was an $8 player in our auctions versus a $5 for the NFBC. Gabby Moreno was a $10 player who neither of us are that high on. So that may just be more catcher inflation in general.
Yeah, that's 100% catcher inflation because I think that's one of those, oh no, I better get someone plays.
Was $10 for Gabby Moreno in our league, $7 in the other NFBC leagues. And then Yanner Diaz, Logan Ohapi both went for $2 more on average in our league. So that's the catcher pool. But yes, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 catchers out of the top 14 position. So shocker.
God bless you guys. That's all I got to say.
No, Salvi Perez too. I forgot Salvi. He's $2 more in our league.
How dare you?
God. How dare you? All right. I want to talk about so there's four pitchers that are ranked 2 through 6 on this sheet where three through six on our sheet as being pricier in our leagues than in the NFBC. You say Kikuchi, Nick Pivetta, Rhys Olson, Christopher Sanchez. And I feel like that is, that is like a carbon, carbon copy of guys that we like to address, but I think it brings up a good point to where, like, I've talked all off season how I love Yusei Kikuchi. Mm-hmm. Everyone has a price, and usually that connotation, everyone has a price, means, and it's hard to do this in a straight draft, but like, get your guy. But usually, like, everyone has his price means I'm gonna wait 3 rounds if he's still there. Okay, I'll take him. In this case, it's do you like Yusei Kikuchi so much more than the market that you are going to take him over? And here's the other $10 starting pitchers that have gone in our leagues. Are you going to take Kikuchi over Sandy Alcantara, Brandon Pfaadt, or Jack Flaherty? So Jared Jones went, and just to even like, I'll just finish this thought. A couple guys that went $1 only more than Kikuchi, Carlos Rodon, Jared Jones, those types. So it's just like, you can like Kikuchi. He's my guy. I've talked all draft season how much I like Kikuchi. Are you willing to go those extra $2-3? Do you like him that much more than the market?
That's a great question. I think there's like maybe Flaherty was the only guy on that. All the guys you mentioned that I would take Kikuchi over. I think all those other guys probably over Kikuchi at those prices, which is crazy. But they're all fair conversations. That's why they are priced closely. But yeah, I know that feeling. I actually wanted to go back and look at my draft board and be – maybe we'll do it later if we have time to look at our two teams, but I want to go back and see how many like my guys I actually got, because I know I made a point to get Lindor. I made a point to get, you know, Devin, but as the draft goes on, there were so many dudes. Like I just did not get a chance. And I somehow did not go crazy trying to get them. Cause I'm looking at this board right now, both sides of it. I have none of these players on either one of these boards. So that says a lot about people just, you know, going bonkers and me stepping back, which is not easy to do.
I don't think I have a single player either. I don't have Kikuchi, and it's funny, like these four pitchers, Kikuchi, Pivetta, Olson, Sanchez. Pivetta, talk about in a sec. There may be some context there, but I don't have Reese Olsen, Christopher Sanchez, Kikuchi, or Pivetta on my teams. And so maybe that's just when they were brought up, but it's also maybe this room obviously knows who I like, and are they willing to push me $4 over the average, where at a certain point in the auction, I don't either don't have that money or I'm looking elsewhere, have other needs. So that's the thing. I real quick on Nick Pivetta, I forget exactly when it was announced that he signed with San Diego, but I believe all of our auctions, most auctions started on February 16th. Most of our auctions were after Pivetta signed with San Diego. So I get that one. And again, Pivetta was a $9 average in our leagues and a $6 in the other NFBC auction leagues so far in February.
What date did you draft again? The 18th?
I drafted on the 21st.
21st. Okay, so the fifth draft. So I have a little experiment here. Yeah, Christopher Sanchez went for $13 in your draft. That was the most out of any draft. That's why I just wanted to check that real quick.
You bastards.
Because that is like one of your dudes ever since we started this show. Like, that's been one of your guys. Kikuchi went for $13. That's the most out of any draft so far. So yeah, little things like that stand out to me when I look at it, is what drafts were we in? That probably has another impact on these numbers we're looking at right now. So the max bids are, I always call them max. Apparently they're, you know, they were in your draft essentially.
I remember last year, I think Sanchez was like an average, because I was even bigger on Sanchez last year in the auction. I think it was a $4 AAV. I don't know how I remember this. My dad got him for, I think, for 11 on a four average. It's like, man, he really wants to stick it to me.
I will say, out of all the, you know, higher spending, I'm not going to say overspend because we don't know. It might be a great spend when all things are said and done. There's no mascots, and I say that plural, none of the mascots are on this board, which last year Ringifo would have been like at the top of this list. So everyone was much more disciplined in that regard in the draft rooms as well.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. You threw out Ringifo first throw, didn't you?
Yeah. I wanted to see if people would spend too much to get money off the board, and it didn't, because I like him, obviously. But I was going to see if, you know, everyone has a full allotment of cash. Where can we get some money flying type thing? That would be one I'd be a fan of. I want to ask you about Logan Webb. That was not a name I expected to see on this board as an over, because based on the way we talk about Logan Webb, we talk about him as a good 15, great floor play, but maybe you're higher on him than me. I don't know, but I always talk about he doesn't strike guys out. I know he can, but like good SP2. I remember bidding on him, but I didn't get him because I wasn't going to overpay for Logan Webb. But the fact that, two things I want to put here, his NFBC AAV is $14, which stands out as a mid-priced guy type thing in my world, in my brain, which is so not an ace. Another thing to keep in mind. Going for an AAV of 16, though, so people liked him in our leagues. That stood out to me a little bit. I don't know if you had anything on the Logan Webb situation.
No, that stood out as well. I think I like Logan Webb a little more than you, but you tend to look at these players through more of the lens of a 12-teamer and me a 15-teamer. Mm-hmm. Logan Webb was $13. That was the min in the first auction. Outside of that, Logan Webb was very flat. It was all between $15-$18 in every single auction. So pretty consistently, Logan Webb, our listeners were on board with. And interesting, like, God, I kind of want to do more auctions because I just,
yes,
I love these pitchers, dude. Like Logan, yep. So Logan Webb, even though it's $16, Logan Webb's good.
Tied so he's fine there. Yeah.
Yeah, he's fine. I know who else is fine there is my guy.
Which one?
Nola is at 16. Tanner Bibee, your guy at 16. If you want to take some.
Almost got Bibee. I was so close there. I was freaking amazing.
You want to take some risks, or Spencer Strider at 16? I got Freddie Peralta in my league. I had to pay a little extra for him. I was the max at 18.
How much extra? Okay, that's what I was curious.
I was at 18 and at an average of 15 for Freddie. Luis Castillo, 15. But like, man, I don't know. I think that's the move this year. But it was interesting that Logan Webb, out of that, like, because the first four pitchers we talked about, Kikuchi, Pivetta, Olsen, Sanchez, they're all a little bit cheaper than like this class of pitcher that I'm talking about, which I think more in 15 team drafts is like your rounds 5 through 8 type of pitcher, where like low end SP1, high end SP2. Logan Webb's the only one of that group that shot up. And I guess that's just kind of a little bit random. But yeah, interesting to see him there, and I'm still in at the $16 price.
All right, so you mentioned all those prices. This is where I humbly get happy with my squad. Shota for 16, Ober for 16, Sonny Gray for 14 made me very happy.
Dude, that sucks. All right, so wait. So Amanaga, his average is 18.
Yeah, I got him for 16. Ober for 16.
Where's Ober at? I got to scroll up. Jesus. He was an $18 player.
Yeah, and Sonny Gray for 14.
And
Do you want the real kicker?
No. But I have a feeling you're going to give it to me anyway.
So. Yes, I am. Here we are. As my SP5, I got Zach Gallen for $9.
It's a good pick.
See, this, and the only reason I'm bringing this up is because, like, I want to do an auction so I can totally screw up the next time. But this was also to kind of, first off, where I was talking about throwing certain players out to just get people to spend. Everyone was spending money on hitters. They all were just spending money on hitters. So I'm just sitting there like, oh, let's start peppering. And my offense has holes, obviously. But one thing I've got stuck in my head from Ryan is every 15-team draft will have a hole. That's just reality. I'd rather leave the draft with pitching, like locked and loaded, barring an injury, than the hitting side. But I could be totally wrong.
We've got Michael Cecchini, who was in your draft, right? Was in your auction.
Yeah, I got the auction board up if we want to talk.
He said he's got major regrets going double aces, which could just be a relic of one particular auction, because I had regret not going for Paul Skeens, who went for only $33 in my auction. And like, I don't know. That's right. Cecchini was in mine.
I looked at mine. He's not in mine. Yeah, you had the Skeens went cheap. Then Freddie went really cheap. He said he had Gilbert and Crochet for 29 each.
That's fine. I think that's fine. But again, compared to, it's just how much do you like that middle class, upper middle class, I'll say, of starting pitchers? Because yeah, you could take your Gilbert Crochet at 29 or 30, whatever they'll go for in the NFBC. But would you rather have, you could basically get two of like Shota, Ober, who am I not, the Logan Webb, Nola, whatever, you get three of those guys for, and in a 15 teamer where replacement level pitching is very brutal. You know, any strategy can work. If Gilbert and Crochet could be the number one and two overall SPs this year, like, I love them both.
Yes.
But you just have so much more flexibility. If you've kind of fish in that low end SP1, high end SP2 pool.
Yeah, and this also goes like the strategy part of if you take two basically $30 players is what that came down to. That takes your potential, not just at the pitching position, it takes your mid-teens hitters. Like, you can only get a couple type things. Like, we got Jake Berger on the list for 18. He might be out of the realm of options now. Like, you got to go somewhere else. You really got to start picking at your other positions because you spent more at this position. And that happens to all of us in drafts. And like, I was feeling that, and I know you were, it's the captain hindsight thing, but at the time when I got Lindor for 37, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, that fits the mold. He's not like crazy overpriced, whatever. Then as the draft goes on, I see a couple other shortstops. I'm just like, yeah, I could have saved some cash right there. And actually, more importantly than the Lindor one, it's, I took CJ Abrams as my middle infielder for like 23, and I should have just basically punted middle infield and used that money elsewhere. Because that pocket of Wynn, Pena, and Swanson we always talk about, they all went for $10 each. I could have saved like $13 right there pretty easily.
We got TDK, who is one of our streamers in the Listener League auctions. TDK, you did an awesome job, by the way. He says he feels real good about my top three starting pitchers, and this is an interesting way to go about it. And again, something you could never say never, you can't really do in a straight draft. He started with Cole Reagans, Pablo Lopez, and I assume that's Bryce Miller, for basically $20 each, total of $60.
It's pretty sweet.
So, yeah.
Yeah, just lots of ways to build an auction, which makes it a ton of fun, to like your point is.
What makes it fun, but also like...
stressful.
Stressful, and like you want to... maybe this is just the way I think, and it's my straight draft brain. You want to make the best pick at every chance that you get. And an auction that is like, impossible.
It's impossible.
Because A, you obviously can't be in on every single player. B, so much depends on when players are nominated and how much you have to spend. But like, I feel like for me, I wanted to grab every single value, quote unquote, perceived value out there in an auction, and it's just impossible. And I saw you fell into that trap as well. I forget which player it was that you were tripped up on. You were like, damn, I should have got that player. I forget who it was. Yeah, but like, you didn't have the money to spend on it, and you had already spent a few players before that and just didn't have the, like, it just didn't work in your budget. But I remember you kicking yourself. You were like, damn, I wanted him, but you know,
that happened a few times. And the worst part is when you technically have the money, but you know, if you make that pick again, you're hosed like later on, like just having like one or two small holes. Now you have like seven to deal with. And that's where I kept saying it last night. People probably hated me by the end, but the difference between my 2024 two auction drafts and 2025 was a totally different person sitting behind this keyboard. So it was the last two, 2024, I was just firing off and then in trouble, basically, is what it came down to. So yeah, we'll see. All right, anybody else on the green side? The over, I don't like overspend, doesn't make sense, but higher.
No, let's talk Jake Berger real quick. Let's talk Bubba Burger. Love how you got those stickers. That's
hilarious. And Bubba Burgers Racing, Bubba Burgers Racing, and then the OG Bubba Burgers sticker. Like, these are pretty sweet. I got to really hide them from my daughter because she loves stickers. And B, I gotta figure out where I want to put them. That's the key thing. Like, I'm not putting them on the wall and stuff, but gotta figure that out.
Next to that Will Clark jersey.
No, we're not messing quite with the same. No. Sorry, I appreciate it, but no.
But so, like, I think of and whatever on every team, he could be first base, third base. I think I kind of think of Jake Berger as a third baseman, but whatever. It's that same point to where a couple things with Berger's price, an average of 18, and in our leagues, and an average of 16 in the other NFBC leagues. Jake Berger he's a cliff guy, at least at third base, to where the next third baseman in these drafts was Alex Bregman at $15, so $3 cheaper. And I think in some of these drafts, Bregman was not signed. Yeah, Bregman went for 12, 13, and 12 in three of the first four auctions. So he might not have even been on the Red Sox at the time we were doing that. But it's just another case of, like, I feel like the room is paying up for Berger because not only they like him, but like, it is kind of one of those last guys at a tier, and you don't want to get left out on that. Like, to the point where Jake Berger got pushed up, he's a dollar cheaper on average than Jordan Westberg.
Okay.
I like Westberg a little more, but I don't know if just a dollar more.
Yeah, that's the Berger love. Like, obviously we love Jake Berger, but let's even take it to another level. And to our first base preview, and he said, if you look at projections, Berger's technically the same as Christian Walker, Pete Alonso, and Matt Olson. There's a lot of similarities in the projections for that. And Jake Berger goes, what, 40, 50 picks after Christian Walker. And maybe not anymore. He's probably up to like 120. So like 20 picks after Christian Walker. And he had a $3 difference than Christian Walker. So that's kind of where I look at that as well. Like, you're comparing to Westberg, but now I'm comparing to the first base. When I'm giving Westberg's third base. Yeah, so that makes sense. But if we're looking at the power hitters at first base before the kind of first base cliff starts falling even more, seeing him $3 cheaper than Christian Walker is almost makes me feel like that's a bargain in the idea of how much $3 can do for you.
Or if you take it, when we did this in the first base preview, you take that another level up. Jake Berger is only $5 cheaper than Pete Alonso, only $6 cheaper than Matt Olson in our league. So, that's a difference, but it's not as big as it is in the ADP that we're seeing.
100%. I would love to do, like, start equating some of these that are a ADP value, basically their draft value. That'd be interesting as well to see where it goes. So, yeah, Kevin's in the chat here, Ryan, loving you.
Yeah, aloha, Kevin. Says, sorry I'm late. Did bring the bourbon. I don't have any bourbon. Maybe I'll do that tomorrow night, Friday night type of deal. Today was nuts. But
maybe I will too. Never. We'll see how that goes. Yeah, I'm joking.
You do have a 4-hour stream.
go full Ron Burgundy by the end of it.
And Bubba's contract employment with Baseball HQ has
been terminated. Yeah, but they have pulled the overalls from the competition. It's just
there's no more
overalls. All right, let's talk about the players that are going below the NFBC AAV. Like I said, Jackson Chourio going for 34 instead of 36. I think when you get up to a high value, it's different. Maybe I'm wrong. If you got any thoughts on this, go for it. Maybe people think you're still too much of a risk there, and I'm just crazy. I mean, I'm more of an island than I thought I was on this one. This doesn't have to be a long conversation unless you have a deep thought on Jackson Chourio.
Not really Chourio himself. I don't really have any deep thoughts at this point, but my regular depth thought is look at the, I just think our listeners were not as stars and scrubsy as the rest of the NFBC as a whole. I'll read through, and obviously people watching can see the board. I'll read through. It looks like over half of these guys that the Bubba and the Bloomers paid less than. It's a $36 Chourio, it's a $45 Ellie, $37 Tatis, $36 J Rod, $34 Jazz, $52 Shohei. I just think our listeners didn't want to go that much on the first round talent.
No, that actually makes a lot of sense now that you throw it out there, because it did feel like a lot of those early picks, it was just like a lot of that type of kind of quote unquote deals according to AAV. Right. So I'm with you on that. Makes sense.
Which is important to learn pretty quick in your auction, because if you do, the terms hot and cold room or whatever, you can get a feel for that pretty quick, because typically those first round players usually are, again, if you're not Bubba nominating Ring Ifo in the first round, usually these first throws are like your first round players. There's some difference with that, but I think it is important kind of very quickly to be able to try and gauge your room and see are these top tier guys going for as much as they should, and you've got to make a very quick snap decision on whether or not you want to take advantage of that. And I did not, with Paul Skeens only going at $33. I think I was trying to mark down whoever the hell I took before Paul Skeens and even notice it, which is another takeaway to auctions, be monitoring every single player. But it's important to know very quickly how your room is willing to spend on those top tier guys.
Yep, I'm with you there. Kevin Hasty makes a good point that we all spend our money on catchers. The other positions had
every other position was discounted.
Touche. Touche, amigo.
Yeah. Jeez.
Yes, it's very, very true.
I mean, so the pitcher or the player that's the most discounted and Bubba and the Bloom, Roky Sasaki. Everyone has his price, man. Like Roky Sasaki is a $20 NFBC average in the non Bubba Bloom division. He was only $15 in ours. Like, I feel like, again, just sitting here in a vacuum, would I spend $15 on Roky Sasaki? Like, I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all.
Yeah, I remember like he went for 16 in mine, and
mine too.
I remember when it went off, Ben's all, "Oh, that's actually pretty good." Because at first we were both just like, "No, we don't want him," and then it actually happened, and I'm like, "Yeah, I still that's me trying to just tell myself I didn't like him. Why would I like him cheaper?" There's like certain guys do have a value, but there's other guys like, I don't want to play with that type. Because to me, like, Ryan, let's put it this way, $16. Would you rather have Shota or Roky?
Shota, but Shota's $3 more.
I'm saying, like, I got him for $16. I'm comparing to like the drafts.
Your prices.
Okay, well then, would you rather have Nola for $14 or Sasaki for $16?
What? Where are you getting these prices from?
Didn't you say Nola was like 14?
Nola was 16.
Do you want Logan Webb for 16 or do you?
Yeah, I get your point. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, where I'm at. Like, it seems great, but then it's like we always say, and I'm guilty of it 1,000%. Everyone's got a price, and they do. But there's also the point where I talked about it on the stream. I don't know if it was Chris Torres or someone else tweeted it out, and it made a ton of sense, and it made me laugh because I know I'm guilty of it again. That will enter a snake draft even, and we're like, hey, we're out on this guy. But then he falls three rounds. We're like, oh, no, good price, I'm in. Well, what changed in the player that made you change? Like, there's certain guys that you we've all discussed, and it's like, yeah, if he's a little cheaper, but I like other guys in this pocket, okay, now he's cheaper. But if I was out because I don't like the skill set of the player, why does that change? That's the point I'm trying to make. And I think that's the Sasaki thing in a nutshell, is it feels like there's so many question marks around him. That's my only guess. I shouldn't speak for everybody.
And our crew was pretty consistently down on rookie Sasaki. Sasaki had one of the smaller variances of any pitcher. So the absolute max on Sasaki was $17 in only one league. Every other league, he was $16 or less. And again, compared to a $20 average in the NFBC. And the other interesting thing that you just kind of said, Bubba, that sparked a not so deep thought is exactly that. Do you want to, in an auction, because in the NFBC, when a player gets nominated, and anyone who kind of looks at any of the streams, the draft room version of the stream, you see the player, you see his AAV right next to the player, and you see his current price. Do you, and I try to avoid this as much as possible, if it's a pitcher you don't like, player you don't like, whatever, but they're $4 cheaper than AAV, and that clock is ticking, 3, 2, 1, do you do it? Do you do it? I tried not to. But that I will say that is tempting as hell, given the way that the draft room, the online draft room, is set up.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I didn't do it. I don't think at all, honestly. Last year I did 100%. But like I mentioned it on the stream just for my own good. Like, as much as streaming it can hinder you, if it was a player that was thrown that I knew I didn't want, I went back to the YouTube so I could read the chat and talk to people. So I wasn't even in the room. And I could see the board on my stream, so I knew when he was done. I'd go back to the room, so I couldn't click on it. That was just my way of controlling myself. Like, just don't even tempt yourself to it. And I don't know how well that'll go on other drafts, but I tried to stay off of that if I could.
That's the one situation, the one use case where streaming while auctioning is beneficial, because otherwise it's hard as hell.
Yeah, setting your queue or setting your min bids, so now they're all in your queue, so people know who your min bids are. Like, all that fun stuff is awesome. That's right. I did want to mention something. If you weren't in on these pitchers, it doesn't matter. Like, Yoshinobu Yamamoto is here, 18 in ours, 21 in the NFBC. What I wanted to ask you, which stands out to me, because this one, I almost went in on Yamamoto. He went for 15 in mine for the same price as Sasaki.
Yeah,
15 for Yamamoto, that seems
good. Right, looking at each individual leagues, Yamamoto actually went for 15 in the second auction league, but pretty much everything that on average, he was like a $20 player. So, but it goes back to what I mean, we were just talking about. It's like, you got to think you are not a Yamamoto guy.
Yep, that's why I stayed away.
But how do you weigh that against a $5 discount is huge.
Oh, that's huge, it was that one was tough because Ben was trying to get me to get in
there. Trying to get you.
Well, because he kept saying the same thing, dude. Look how cheap he's going. Look, and I'm just like, no.
It'd be an interesting exercise to go in and talk about some of these guys we don't like, and like, how much of a discount would you finally say, yes, I'll do it?
That's a great exercise.
$6, like,
Are you just completely Xing them off the board in theory? Because it's like, is it the Casey Cha mode? And I think it's mainly in snakes, and maybe he does it in auctions too. Just walks in with a list of players on a piece of paper. Yeah. That's all he's drafting. Nobody else. Like, no one else is an option.
But I like that for snake drafts. I just feel like in auctions, you never know.
You gotta be flexible.
You never know.
That $5 savings, like we talk about overspending, getting that $5 savings in theory is pretty freaking awesome as well.
Yeah. And then the other thing too, and this is an extreme example, like this probably won't come up a bunch, but kind of pivoting from the Bloom board that we have, there were a couple auctions that, and this isn't just for NFBC maybe, but for any kind of online auction, there were guys that were nominated right after the break. And then the NFBC setup, you get a 5-minute break after round 7 and again at round 15. Tristan Casas went for.
Yeah, I remember that.
Where is it at?
A buck,
Tristan Casas buck. in the second auction went for $1 because he was the first throw post break, and I don't know if anyone wasn't there or just not paying attention. Like, we both hate. Well, we're not in on Tristan Casas. Mm-hmm. I would take Tristan Casas for $2 for $5. Yes. I mean, compared to a, I think, well, his Bubba in the Bloom auction value is 11. But if you take it's that out, it's kind of skewed. But average is like 12, 13 bucks. Like, yes, I would take Tristan Casas for probably $5. But that's just another. That was another little quirk of our auctions. PCA was another one who went for $1 in the first auction right after a break. Luis Arias. I don't know if this was right after an auction or after a break or not, but went for $1 in one of the leagues and significantly more than that in others. But that was another kind of quirk to our NFBC leagues that happened in two of the three early leagues. And I think kind of the word got out and it's like, all right, let's be back for when we resume, because they just resume the clock and there's no alarm or anything. It just goes. So
yeah, like we, at each break, the chat wanted me to like review my team. So I'm reviewing my team while I see the timer start clicking. Like, oh, draws back. Brandon Waddell in the chat here said good players took the YAM discount. Possibly. Then TDK says in auctions, if I'm out, I'm out. In snakes, I'll take it at three rounds. So,
okay.
There you go.
Which there's also another, just strategically, there is a benefit to being completely out on a player because it frees you up for 20, 25 seconds. Right. And you can kind of go look at your team, look at what you're doing, look at your tracker, whatever. I think there is some value in assuming you're kind of taking a risk that the price doesn't go too high or whatever. But there were a few times in my auction where I was like, I'm not taking this guy. I'm going to go to this other tab or whatever that I've got up. And I'm going to look at that. I just bought myself 20, 25 seconds, which it doesn't sound like much, but in an auction where you're on for so long and monitoring every single player, there is some value in being able to take those kind of like micro breaks throughout the auction. So
it helped a lot. A player I just wanted to bring up because we were talking about different guys. So Kyle Finnegan had gone for $1 or reserve picks. Wasn't even taken in two drafts. And then I had him in the first draft since signing on Wednesday. Yeah. And he went for $10. And then on Thursday night drafts with the Rico and company, went for $6. So that's already showing to be like, I can't wait to see what Friday's goes for. Because it was, again, no one's paying for him. Not everybody's drafting him before he signed with the Nats. I know I've been very vocal about my thoughts on where Finnegan slots in. I don't know if that affected the $10 as much. We'll see. I'm really curious to see how Friday kind of goes. We have like a three draft sample on a guy like Kyle Finnegan, for example.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I mean, I had to make that call in labor on Tuesday night, right? That draft happened 2-3 hours after Finnegan signed. And I remember I threw it out in the Discord. I was like, so where do we think, asking for a friend who has a draft in 2 hours, where do we think Finnegan should be ranked among relievers? And you were like, well, right around Kenley Jansen. And I saw Jansen go the round before, and I was like, okay, I'm going to take Finnegan with my next pick, and did it. The 10 and $6, feel like probably the truth is somewhere in between with Finnegan.
That's fair.
That's roughly around the range of like a, where's like Romano? Romano's an $8 closer. It's hard to pick out
closers. Jansen's a $9. Jansen's $9. So here you go.
Jansen's a $9, but maybe more. When did he sign? Jansen. Oh, no, that's Danny Jansen.
Yeah. Kenley Jansen's been signing the whole time.
I don't know. Because the first two drafts, Kenley.
So yeah.
Yeah, 65. It's got to be after that.
So 11, 11, 12, 13. So it's like 11, 9, 8, 9. So 9's probably pretty close still.
Yeah, $9-10 for Kenley.
Robert Suarez is at 10.
I think I'd still take Suarez and Kenley over Finnegan, but
I'm out on Suarez.
Splitting hairs. I know. Yeah, he could get traded, but he hasn't yet. I don't know. I feel like San Diego, awesome pod, by the way, with love when Sam Reed behind the mic. I feel like San Diego is definitely crying poor, but they haven't actually.
Yeah. They haven't done it.
Done anything to cry poor. So I do feel like Robert Suarez is the guy and will stay there. I feel like that price will go up the longer he stays on the Padres in spring training. But anyway, yeah, the Kyle Finnegan discussion is pretty fascinating. I would lean more toward the $10 than the $6. But yeah, we'll see where he goes in the final Friday auction.
Yeah, just another one. Like, I'm just scrolling right now. Like, Tanner Scott, I'm thinking closers because of the way things went. His average is 12, anywhere from 8 to 15. So, like, that's a pretty big gap to me. And do you like him or do you not like him type situation?
Yep.
Yeah. Garrett Mitchell for $4, gone as high as 7, as low as 1.
Jesus.
He went for 5. He went from 5 in mine, and I wanted him so bad. But, yeah, I digress. I digress on that one. Anybody else you're interested in discussing on these boards, on the sheet we have in the wonderful Discord that you created? Anything else?
I think Chin Music in the chat here sums it up well. Fun and stressful. Like, I think that's a good combination of how to describe an auction. It was funny going back and doing labor after an auction. It just felt so much more relaxed in a straight draft, where you kind of have to be on for a couple minutes before your pick. And that's kind of it, just kind of chill and track the draft outside of that. Would love to do an in-person auction. That would be, that would be the dream, because it is a ton of fun on the NFBC, but done a couple kind of home leagues in the past where in person, it's, you just get more tells, and it's fun.
Start reading people a little more. That's when it gets fun. All right, let's hit a couple listener questions. I got at least one from Twitter. Let's see where we can go with this. Yes, our good buddy Alan DeLeonardis.
Our guy.
Yes. He says, Bubba, you're a catcher guy. How do you feel about Augustin Ramirez and his chances to get meaningful and valuable playing time in Miami? 115.1 max EV. I have him as a third or fourth catcher in DCs. He should play. He's better than all their catchers. It just comes down to do the Marlins play the game, time served game with Ramirez, but they're trying him out at first base in spring. Like, they want to find reps for him essentially. So I'd say by midseason he's up for sure. In theory, he should start on opening day, but I doubt they do that.
Augustin Ramirez was taken in the reserve draft, excuse me, in one of the leagues, and then not selected in every other one.
Oh, he's definitely on my my radar with my catching situation. Let's put it that way. So, yeah.
What about your first base situation? I had to throw that out.
That's another one as well. Yeah, CES. But again, those are my two holes. We talked about it with the way I spent elsewhere, and then I wanted to take either Josh Bell or Carlos Santana, and they both just went like, yeah, it got bad. Got bad quick. I was debating Jonah Bride or Lamont Wade as my backup. I have Lamont Wade Jr. as my backup, who might be better than CES right now.
I was listening while you were debating that. Just wanted to type Ty France in the chat so badly, but you didn't. I decided not to. Didn't want to piss you off.
You typed Ty France in there a few times, actually. You even put French flags in the chat.
That's true. Technicality, I did not type. That's right. I did not type France. I emojied it, the French flag. Didn't take my advice, dude.
No, I did not, because if we need to relive the labor draft on you basically poo-pooing Santana the whole time, then he finally gets drafted and you took Ty France right after him, two picks later. Even the chat said you weren't allowed to say anything.
Three picks later.
Fair enough.
I don't know. This was like, the listener leagues were a lot of work to kind of put together and do. And I know we still got one more, and everyone check out the Sheep Seats on Friday night, because Sheep will be doing the final auction stream. But man, like, a really cool opportunity to be able to do this and kind of compare. Like, the really cool thing is being able to track these individual leagues. I know, like, on the NFBC ADP page, you get a min and max and an average, but just being able to see how much changes from auction to auction, from league to league, across 10 entire leagues. It has been a ton of fun to just kind of monitor. And I think a bunch of our listeners have had a ton of fun doing it. So I think the work we've put into it is has been well worth it.
It's been pretty awesome. Most of the work was by you because you are a wizard with organizing things on Excel sheets. So thank you much on that one. But yeah, it's been awesome. It'll be in the books and we'll be like, okay, start the games. Let's see what madness unfolds. But we'll see. Even Steve Brunn made a comment that was pretty cool. It was like, well, I don't know if it's good enough. I hope it's good enough for FPAS. And so that was he's shooting for the overall, which is
right.
pretty cool way to see how that goes as well. But yep. All right, we're gonna wrap it up there. Again, we'll be back with you guys Tuesday night, 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific time for your Tout Wars 15 team mixed league draft. Ryan and I both drafting. I have the second pick. Ryan hasn't got his KDS turn yet.
Yeah.
To throw it out there, this is me. I've had the chance to bury you twice now, and I didn't. But until then, make sure you follow Ryan on Twitter, the three-time FSWA award winner, Ryan Bloomfield, on Twitter at Ryan BHQ, the podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod, on Patreon at patreon.com/Bubba Bloom. I'm at BD Intrick, and for next time, this is Bubba the Bloom, episode 218. Catch y'all later.